and welcome back to another episode of Mass Monologues. Today I have with me Saloni. She is a writer. Do you mind telling us a little bit about who you are and how you got started with writing?
Yeah, so it's a bit of a funny story, actually. I'm originally a doctor, I'm also a coach, and I'm a writer. And my story goes back to when I was in medical school. So it was 2000, and I was in Australia backpacking. And it was a very funny story, because actually, day before I was going to go backpacking, this was my very first backpacking trip, my granddad died. So it was hit or miss as to whether I'd actually make it.
I'm so sorry.
No worries. He wanted to live till 2000, so he made it. But it was just one of those things. And yeah. So I ended up going, we were in Sydney, where I was backpacking with two friends, and I ended up going to a tarot card reader, psychic. I think part of it was because he just passed, and I wanted some reassurance, because it wasn't unexpected, but it was a shock with it being the day before we were flying. And it's funny, she said, "You're going to be a writer and travel the world." And I was like, "What?" Because my life was mapped out. I was going to be a doctor. I had done 3 years, two or 3 years in medicine. I was doing BSc for the year. And I was just like, my life's like medicine and science and all this stuff. So anyway, years passed. I get on the conveyor belt of medicine and exams and nights and all of this stuff. More exams and loads of unsocial hours. And fast forward 13 years, and I keep on getting people tell me that I should write and all of this stuff. I'm very much into alternative. So if I was having a reading, which I'd have every so often, I'd get told that. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what to write about. Like, it used to freak me out, the pressure of it. Anyway, eventually it was 13 and I was living in Dublin and I was doing a PhD on HIV and drug use. And I started to write. I had a bit of time then. It sounds crazy because it was a challenging PhD. So I was running a HIV clinic for people who had a history of substance abuse and the methadone, but it meant I could manage my time. And so I started to write then. And yes, my first book is about dragons and dream school. So I need to go back and rewrite that properly. So that is my convoluted story. From then, 13 years ago, I did lots. So I did courses and conferences and mentoring and paid feedback and all of this stuff, because at that time, I was doing my PhD, so the writing I was doing was very scientific, very formulaic. So I don't know if you've got any experience of research, but it's very much aims, hypothesis, methods, yes. Results, conclusion. So I think it was probably just that I was finding it so rigid that I started writing about dragons and fairies, just in straight contrast, the Northern Escape. So that is it in a nutshell. Yeah.
That's an interesting story. I'm wondering, when you visited the psychic and you got your reading, did you think to yourself, maybe this is something I should try because I had this experience? Or was it a couple years later that you didn't even think about it and thought, you know what, maybe I should try creative writing? Or do you think that has anything to do with it? Is there a connection there?
I didn't at the time think. My life had been so compartmentalized and shut off. And look, I'm Asian and my parents are very much about medicine, as a lot of Asian families are, that's not pretend. And I wasn't really given much space to explore creative endeavors. It was all about exams and work and achieving. I hadn't been given space to do that. So it was quite scary to me. If I'm being honest with you, I felt quite pressured by it. At that time, I think I forgot about it. And then it was probably years later, and I started to do a bit more meditation, alternative stuff, whilst working as a doctor, just, you know, yoga and that stuff to help me just day to day and being a bit calmer and sleeping better. And I was referring patients on. I think as I started to do more about other stuff, I started to go, is this really what I want? And would I like to be doing something else? And that's what opened it up. One of the other things that opened it up, okay, that's the one, was I wanted to meet somebody. I'd been single for a long time and I wanted kids. And again, there's a reason this hasn't happened. And that got me onto the looking at my life and examining things and was I really happy and all this stuff.
Yes. And you spoke about this initial fear, this anxiety when delving into an endeavor that was so removed from what you were used to. You do scientific studies and experiments all the time, and then you jump into creative writing. What challenges did you face the very beginning? Was it just writing in that new format, in that new style, that new tone, doing something creative? Did it feel abnormal at first? And did you gain encouragement from any of friends or peers?
It felt very strange for a variety of reasons. As a doctor, you're very used to doing and achieving. And this was something totally different. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even know where to go for courses and stuff. I think at the time, the internet wasn't like now. Do you know what I mean? It's so much easier now to find stuff. But at that point, the internet wasn't as big. And I just didn't know where to go. I had no clue. And I also was living in Ireland, so I'm from the UK. I was living in a different country. Even though it's not very far, things could be quite different. It was a bit scary for me. And I'm going to be honest with you, part of me, there's an imposter syndrome of what I'm doing. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. It's going to be no good. And I don't think I spoke to a lot of people about it. I think I started just writing. It probably wasn't great. I can't remember exactly whether I joined a writing group or I know what it was. I paid for feedback. So I found an agency online and paid for feedback for the book. And it was a bit crazy. You've got this written feedback and then you had a one-to-one with somebody. And I drove an hour and a half for this one-to-one and then back in the UK. And I found the feedback stage really challenging and upsetting. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I just wanted somebody to love it and me. And it's feedback. And now you're going, of course. I know how to do the scientific writing. I didn't know how to do this. So there were certain elements of learning how to write. Obviously, you have the voice, but that learning how to write. In hindsight, a lot of that at the beginning was telling and not showing.
Yes.
But yeah, now I smile about it now. It's a journey, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a journey. And in a way, I digress. Like at that time, I don't know whether there's a whole Amazon case. So I did self-publish my first book, which is my fourth book, but mine was, I'd have lots of edits and feedback and all of that stuff. I think if that was available then, it's so easy to just do something and put it out and not have it properly looked at and edited. And then, do you know what I mean? Like now it's wonderful that self-publishing KP, but
it's so accessible.
Yes. There are a lot of great books out there, but there are a lot of books where you can look at it and go, okay, it's wonderful that somebody's done this, but an edit at least, or plot or story or all of this stuff. So that was probably mine.
I'm wondering if it was overwhelming for you at first, because with scientific writing, there's such a rigid structure where you have to stay within those guidelines. But when it comes to creativity, really the world is your oyster. The page can have anything on it. And I'm wondering, did you start off by writing journal prompts, or did you take certain prompts and create a story about them? How did you get into writing at the very beginning? So did you just start writing a novel, have this story to start to finish, or did you break it up into smaller parts?
No, there was none of that. There was no prompt. None of us. I just started to write and there was no real story or plotting or any of that. I just started to write. And so that's why, like, I laugh now thinking about it, because it would probably rub it. But no, I just started to write.
Yeah.
I didn't have an idea of what to do about journal prompts and this, that, and the other, and plotting and storyline and this, that. Do you know what I mean? A lot of it just was intuitive and flowing, which is what I do now. But I do obviously plot and develop my characters and have done courses and all of that stuff. Because I think sometimes you want it to be magical and it's a bit of a gift, the stories and all of that stuff. But obviously you need to plot it and have a story and too. So no, I have no idea what I was doing. Yeah.
And now that you've written 4 books now, do you visualize these scenes in your head or do you visualize the characters? Do you find the inspiration from people in your life or how do you construct your stories?
Absolutely. So I've written quite a few books, but I've only published one. So the book that I've published is Flora Investigates the Case of the Missing Gold Eggs. That's a early chapter book for children. And that is, I was a bit naughty, it's loosely based on my husband's friends and family. So this one was a book about a girl detective who has to find a missing gold egg laying chicken. And when I met my husband, my mother and I used to keep chickens. They're all gone now. The foxes got them. And one day, one of them went missing and he joked that there'd been a murder. But my husband's Italian. So when he took me to Florence the first time, I met his friends and family, the story brewed. And I'm a bit naughty because my mother-in-law's in there, my brother-in-law's in there, his friends and family members are in there. I totally went extreme. But that one just brewed with that and the energy of the place and all of it. I was going to self-publish my second book, but it doesn't want to be self-published. It's a funny story. Now, this is a book about fairies. It's a middle grade book. And I love magic and fairies. And I think it's probably the contrast to my medical life. And I used to love fairies growing up and those fairy books. And this is, it's a book about having your wings clipped and being bullied, which is such a big thing in my life because I had very bad workplace bullying and I ended up incredibly unwell and with PTSD. And I didn't realize at the time when I started writing this book, at that point I was going to a writing, children's writing book group in Dublin. I just started writing about fairies and wings being clipped. I didn't realize. And then afterwards I went, oh gosh, that's what I'm writing. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's my story. So it's very funny. Even my first book, when I go back and look at The Dragons and the Dream School, was about me coming into my power and magic and writing and trying to create my life and my future in story. So I have big themes in them because I want to inspire. I've seen so much crap in life, having done the job that I've done, that I really yes. want to inspire. I have a dual point of view stalking book that I need to get back to. So that's my focus now. And that is loosely based on my works, my experiences and how I felt about being, because I was stalked as well, being stalked and how people treated me in the gas and just how world collapsing it was, because somebody sent an anonymous letter out about me with really personal information and the perception of being that because I was off sick, I couldn't be out and about doing things. And it totally traumatized me because somebody had clearly followed me and knew where I was going and knew quite personal information about me, who my doctor was and all of this stuff. And I couldn't get anyone to take it seriously. I went to the guards or the police there and employers, and people suggested that I had written these letters or that it was a neighbor. And there was such specific stuff in these letters about kind of medicine that I was like, my neighbor's not going to know this stuff. But I couldn't get anybody to take it seriously. And it was so damaging to me. And it was so damaging to the point that I actually moved country when I was 6 months pregnant because I didn't feel safe. I was scared. I was there going, I don't feel safe walking a newborn around here.
I'm so sorry you had to experience that. I couldn't even imagine.
Thank you. It's one of those things, and I'm better now and I've healed. But it was a very traumatic and dark period of my life. And yeah,
Was writing cathartic for you at that point when you were facing that?
No. So I started it. I was in Dublin, off sick at that point, and I started it 4 or 5 years ago. And everyone writing group was like, you've got to write that. And I did it dual point of view, but I couldn't touch it. It was too painful, really painful. And only now, the last couple of months, this year, that I've picked it up and gone, I can do this again. And it was very similar. I've also been working on my medical memoirs. I've seen it had it all. I've gone to prisons. We've had a lot of prisoners. I've worked as a rape examiner. And I don't know over there, but here there's a book written by Adam Kay called This Is Gonna Hurt, about his time as an obstetrics registrar. And again, I started writing these vignettes of work stuff. I made it into a short story. I put it into a couple of competitions. I just couldn't do anything else with it. I knew that a time would come when I would be able to. And I was just so upset about my whole work stuff that it was too painful. But I'd picked it up about 2-3 months ago. And for me, it was actually really joyful to do that. I'd forgotten a lot, but it was really nice to write these stories and these experiences and people whose lives I touched. Obviously, I've had to change things and names and change bits for confidentiality point of view. But it was lovely to do that, and I was able to do that. Yes, yeah, I flit around. But going back to your question, no, I wasn't able to do it then. I think now I will enjoy doing it. I'm slightly fearful it's going to take me to a dark place again, but I think it's probably going to be, like you say, cathartic and healing to go, that's done, and I can talk about it. Because there's a time when I couldn't, where it just, I would be crying now talking to you about this.
No, it's wonderful how much time can help you heal it, and where you're able to look back on something and think, I have a completely different viewpoint on that experience now. And it's not as intimate, or it's still intimate, but it doesn't hurt as much as it used to before. I'm wondering,
Can I butt in very quickly? And
yes,
this is only totally unrelated to writing. You're right about time, but one of the things that really helped me get my life back was EMDR, which is eye movement desensitization therapy. And I say it because it helped me transform my life. And there's plenty of people out there with PTSD. And if somebody hears this podcast and goes, that's me, and I didn't know what to do, then it helps somebody. Do you know what I mean? So yes. Sorry for interrupting, but
oh no, of course.
It was such a powerful tool for me that I share about it whenever I can.
Yes. No, do you want to even expand on that? I'm not familiar.
It's called EMDR, so it's eye movement desensitization therapy, and it's And they don't know exactly how it works, but it works to reorganise the brain. And it's a tool that psychologists use. I'm actually thinking of training it in myself to help people process trauma so that they can move on. And it really transformed my life. And sorry for hijacking this, but I'm really passionate about helping people transform their life. And like I say, if one person hears this on podcast and goes, wow, that's me, or let's give it a go and it helps them, then that's a good thing.
Yes. No, of course. No, don't be afraid to jump in or butt in and say, share any information you have. I want to ask about your work life and creative schedule, because you're a doctor, so you work on medical field, your medical endeavors, scientific, your studies, your research. How do you make time to also do this creative writing as well?
So I'm not working as a doctor anymore. I haven't for a couple of years, and I'm not sure whether that will come back. I did do both for a bit, and I managed it when I was doing a PhD when I wasn't working full time. When I went back as a consultant, I worked part time. So that was my compromise, was that I knew that if I was working full time, I just wouldn't be able to have that creative endeavors. And I also found that I needed that space for me. My challenge now is that I have two young children. They're absolutely wonderful and I adore them. But it's juggling, fitting that in and having time with them and writing. And I don't know if I've got the balance. I have good periods and bad periods. Either. And a slight break in the last few weeks. But yes, that's it. It would be wonderful to be able to write every day. But I also want days with my children. So it's that. I think it is a balance, though.
Yes. And I've also spoken to writers who are mothers as well. And I'm wondering, do you usually write in the mornings or when your kids are asleep? Could you share any tips for mothers who are also writers or who might be pursuing a creative endeavor and want to spend time with their children and also work on their creative project?
I can't work in the evening because I get overstimulated. So for me, it's when my children are in nursery, or it's a Saturday morning if I can get my husband to look after them. And I often go to the library, and sometimes I just need an hour or two. Do you know what I mean? It would be so much, so amazing to do every day, but there's 2 days a week where I have my children and they're not in childcare all the time, and they're young and I don't want them to be in childcare all the time. So it's a balance, I think, and it's different for different people. Some people love working at night, some people love in the morning. I know that I'm fresher in the morning, so that's better for me, but sometimes just how childcare works out, it's the afternoons. So it's a juggle, but there's nothing like knowing you've just got that time to make you focus.
Yes, so it's making time whenever you have time to write. When you write, do you just open up a Google document or a Word document and start typing? Do you use a pencil and a piece of paper? How does your process work?
Mine changes. So with some, I'll go pencil and paper. And if I'm plotting, I'm definitely pencil and paper. With the medical stuff, I was pencil and paper and then typing up. It really varies. And it depends on the story. Sometimes I've got quite a few because I've told you about three adults. So sometimes they're on paper, on their own computer, and it'll be a year or two before I come back to them. So it really varies. I don't have a rhyme and rule, so I'm not very rigid. I'm sure lots of other writers do it in a particular way. I do the pen and paper for plotting, but I often have to plot the computer because I forget, because I've got so many things out there. There's something magical about pen and paper, I think. That there is something magical about a notepad, pen and paper, and going out there, especially for plotting and character development. But obviously when it gets bigger, the computer. So I do mix bit of both.
Yeah. And is there any tidbits of advice that you've gotten from any of your editors, maybe it's friends or family members, that you've applied to the rest of your books or with your writing going forward?
Yeah. So one of the big things is, I think, to just keep on going and a little often. Do you know what I mean? So a little often, keep on going. The last editor I worked with was wonderful. And I said, oh, I'm going to go back and rewrite my Dragons and Dream School book. And he was like, go and have a look at the original, because there's power in the original version of a book. And I think he's so right about that. He really got that there's an essence to books and a power to them. And that goes beyond what's on the paper. Do you know what I mean? There's something in that raw, rough original version. So that's some of my two things. My other thing is edits. You need feedback. You need edits. And it's really important to get that. And it can be tough, but it is a way to grow and learn. And sometimes it's about getting the right people, because you might get somebody editing, but they're just not the right fit for you. But yes, those are my three tips.
No, thank you so much. I want to shout out to all of your social media platforms, your website. where can people find your book and where can people check out your website and what you do?
Oh, thank you so much. That's so kind. So my website is salonisura.com, which is my name. My book is available on Amazon. It's a paperback and it's ebook. It's on Kindle Unlimited and it's Flora Investigates the Case of the Missing Gold Eggs. So that's the one that's out. The fairy book, The Last Fairy Guardian, is currently, I'm looking for the right pathway for it. So it's a funny thing, but I'll leave that there. But it is, hopefully I will find that soon. I am on Facebook as Saloni Sura Author and Instagram as @SaloniBook. And I also have a YouTube channel where I do read alouds of kids' books. So I looked after so much poverty and illiteracy and so many children who didn't have anyone reading to them that I do have put read alouds of other people's books and like the first chapter of mine up on that. That's @BedtimeTutorials by Saloni. So, you know, kids can have a listen, or if you're a parent and you want to have a cup of tea or go to the toilet on your own, you can put the kids in front of there. And funnily enough, I used to do TikTok, but I found it a bit too much and have pulled back lately. When I put them on TikTok, I got a lot of teenagers saying they would listen to them before bed to relax. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. And please do check out what Saloni does. If you like this podcast and you want more episodes like this, then please do share it with a friend or family member, and we hope to see you next time. Loving for me, loving for me, no love.